I'd like to read with you, please, in the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, and reading in chapter 15. Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Maybe we could just read the last clause of chapter 14, the words of the Lord Jesus. He said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And he spake this parable unto them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." That will suffice for our reading, and we know God will add his blessing to the further reading of his own word. I think this beautiful parable that the Lord Jesus told in Luke 15 is one of the sweetest stories that he ever told. Really, the whole chapter from beginning to end just demonstrates the truth that my brother has been bringing before you. And it illustrates repeatedly that all heaven is interested in you, that all heaven would love to bless you tonight, that all heaven would just rejoice if you would come in true repentance. I believe that the Spirit of God in putting this chapter where he has in this gospel is very like a master jeweler. You know, when a master jeweler wants to show you the luster and beauty of a diamond, he places it upon a dark background. And that is just how Luke 15 appeals to me. It's placed on a dark background. I've only got to think of the chapter that goes before it, and particularly the chapter that follows it. You say, what's the story before Luke 15? It's the story of a certain man that made a great supper, and he bade many, and the invitation goes out, come, just like tonight in the gospel, come, for all things are now ready. You say, what's sad about that? What's sad is this, that I read in Luke 14 that they all with one consent began to make excuse. I'm speaking to hearts in this meeting tonight, and you have heard the tender pleadings of Christ. You have heard of the provision made of the cross for sinners. The invitation has went out, come, for all things are now ready. Yet up until this moment, you've just been making excuse. But I tell you, the chapter that follows this one is sadder still. If the Savior hadn't preached it, I wouldn't preach it. But he told in Luke 16 of a man that lived his life. Oh, he had much in life. Clothed in purple and fine linen. Fared sumptuously every day. He had much materially. But he had never had dealings with God. And so the Lord Jesus, he died. He was buried. And in hell,
lifted up his eyes and turned. Dear friend, remember tonight, if you refuse the Savior that you've heard, and set at naught his death upon the cross and the suffering that he endured, you will take your place like the man in Luke 16, and your cry for all eternity will be like his. I am tormented in this flame. You know, it's only Luke that uses that word, tormented. The first time he used it was in chapter 2 of his gospel. It's the story of Mary and Joseph. And they've taken the Savior as a boy of 12 up to Jerusalem. But after the feast, they go home without him, supposing all the time he was with them. But at the end of the day, they discover Christ is not with us at all. Oh, dear friend, I wonder, will you make that discovery tonight in this meeting? Christ is not with me at all. I have been living my life without him. That would be a great discovery to make, you know. They made their way back to Jerusalem. And eventually when they found the Savior, the language of Mary, his mother, was this. She said to the Christ of God, "Thy Father and I have sought thee sorrowing." That's it. We have sought thee tormented. What caused the torment? Simply this. They had missed Christ. They had missed him for a few days. My dear friend, what will the torment of hell be like? To miss Christ not for a day or two, but to miss him for eternity. Awful spot in hell to burn, never to come back anymore. My friend, as I look into your face tonight, you have a soul. It's the most precious possession you own, and it's bound for eternity. It'll live the lifetime of God. Either in heaven if you know Christ, or in an awful place of woe, if you know him now. But I'm glad we have Luke 15 to preach from. What a story. I want to speak about four things in this lovely parable. I want to talk to you tonight about a lost sheep. I want secondly to speak about a loving shepherd. That's the one my brother's been preaching. There was a loving shepherd that loved that lost sheep. I want thirdly to speak about lofty shoulders. And I want you to notice the way the story ends. For it ends with a lasting song. I trust you'll know something of it tonight. A lost sheep. You notice that the Savior spoke about a man who had 100 sheep. But he does divide the flock of sheep into two. Into 99 and 1. And the simple reason why he did that was this. That the audience that he was preaching to were divided. There were two classes of folk that had come to hear him preach. We've read about them both. There were publicans and sinners. They were represented in that one sheep. But there was another class, Pharisees and scribes, religious men. They were represented in the 99.
You know, we sing a hymn at times, and I love hymns. There were 99 that safely lay in the shelter of the fold. Now, that is nice hymnology. But it's not very sound theology. The Savior never spoke about the 99 in the fold. He said the 99 were in the wilderness. You see, they had never learnt that they were lost. They were full of pride and religion, and that's all they had. I want to make it very clear in this meeting tonight. There will be only one class of folk ever enter heaven's door, and it's those in life learnt they were lost. I tell you, this would be a great meeting tonight. If you were to learn, maybe for the first time, I'm just like that one lost sheep. I have been going astray from God. Our Bible says in Isaiah 53 and 6, all, every one without exception, all, we like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. The Bible says we go astray as soon as we're born, speaking lies. And maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight, and you've been going astray for years. Great thing to learn that you're lost. I remember reading on one occasion of a man by the name of Sir James Simpson, an outstanding Edinburgh physician. He had made many great scientific discoveries in his life. And when he was an elderly man, a number of his students gathered around him. They said, Sir James, perhaps you would be kind enough to tell us what you judge was the greatest discovery you ever made in life. Those young students waited with bated breath to hear what the learned man would say. He paused for a moment or two with thought, and this was his reply to the students. He says, gentlemen, the greatest discovery I ever made in life was this. One day, I discovered I was a lost, guilty sinner. And I discovered a Savior in Jesus Christ. I tell you, this would be some meeting tonight. If you would make a discovery like that, that you're just a lost, guilty sinner, and if in this very meeting, you would find a Savior in Jesus Christ. A lost sheep. Well, I want to speak about a loving shepherd. For there was a loving shepherd interested in that one sheep. You say, how do I know he was interested? I could only measure his interest when I think of the length that he went to find it. I want to tell you tonight of a loving shepherd. To tell you again of the Son of God. To breathe into your ears again the love of Christ to the lost, and tell you again of the distance that he has went to find you. He left the splendor of heaven. He left the glory of that sphere. He left the many mansions and come down and down to Bethlehem. Jesus, my Savior, to Bethlehem came, born in a manger to sorrow and shame. Oh, it was wonderful. Blessed be his name. Seeking for me. For me. I tell you, there was a Savior that came, not only to Bethlehem, but as my dear brother has been telling you, went all the way to the cross, with all its shame and suffering.
Oh, the distance he went. And knew the loneliness of Calvary.
He could say himself in John 10 and 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He could do no more than that, you know.
He gave us all at Calvary. Gave us back to that cruel scourge. Gave his brow to wear that crown of thorns. Gave his hands and feet to bespite to the tree. But he did more than that. He gave himself.
Says Paul in Galatians 2 and 20. He says, the Son of God who loved me. And he gave himself. He gave himself for me. I never forget the night I took it in for the first time. It was for me. Just a lost sinner like me. It was for me, yes, all for me. Oh, love of God, so great, so free. Oh, wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me. As if there was no one else in this world. He died for me. My Lord and King. You take it in tonight? You say he died for sinners, yes? He died for the lost. Oh, but take it in tonight. You're just that lost sinner for whom he came.
Make it good to yourself tonight, dear friend. Rest upon the work of Calvary. We tell you again tonight, behold the Lamb of God. Get your eye upon him. He taketh away the sin of the world. We can tell you tonight that because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look in Christ and pardon me. He's a loving shepherd. And he gave his life for the sheep. But I want to speak tonight about those lofty shoulders. You know, this is a bit of the story that thrills me most of all. It says of that shepherd that when he found the sheep, it says he laid it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. Oh, just when he found the sheep, he took it in his hands and he lifted it up and he laid it upon his shoulders. You know, I read in Isaiah chapter 9 that the government is upon his shoulder, singular, his shoulder. But oh, what a marvel, this poor sheep, helpless and hopeless, is placed upon his shoulders. What a Christ he is! What a Savior. I'm in his hand tonight. For the very moment I trusted him and rested upon the work of Calvary, I was put in his hand and I'll never be out of his hand. Many years ago, when I had the farm in Scotland, just at this time of the year, near the end of March, we had a very severe, heavy snowstorm. We kept a number of sheep. I remember going out to bring them in. I had intended to bring them all into a barn. They were just about ready to lamb. When I brought them in, I counted them just like the shepherd here. And I discovered there was one missing. I went out to look for it. Found it a few fields away from the home. Tried to get it up on its feet, but it couldn't stand. I knew there was only one thing for me to do.
And that was to carry it home. But it takes a strong man to do that, you know. I couldn't get it on my shoulders. But I gathered it up best I could in my arms. I carried it maybe 300 or 400 yards and I had to set it down. I did it again and I did it again. And eventually, I arrived with it in the barn. I remember setting it down and I looked at the sheep and then I looked at myself. I thought, what a miserable shepherd I am. How unlike the shepherd that found me when once I was far away from him. He took me in his hands and he laid me upon his shoulders and he never let me down until he lands me safe on heaven's shore. I tell you, that's a shepherd worthwhile knowing. And that's a Savior worthwhile trusting. He could be yours tonight, dear friend, if you'd only trust him. You say, what are the sheep to do? What are the sheep to do to be so wondrously blessed? Maybe I'm talking to someone tonight. And you're saying, I know I'm lost. Oh, there was the Savior that came and died for sinners upon the cross. But how could I be in the good of it tonight? Well, this story tells it. How was the sheep blessed? What had it to do? One thing. And only one thing. It had just to rest on the work of another. Could I say that again? It had just to rest on the work of another. No working of its own, no trying of its own could ever have saved it. It had to rest entirely upon the work of the shepherd. Our brother Mr. Baker has told us already how he got saved as a boy of 8. Isn't that just what he did? Good of you to do it tonight. As he bowed in the presence of God and said, Jesus, I will trust thee. I'll trust thee with my soul. I'm guilty, lost, and helpless. But thou canst make me whole. There is none on heaven, nor on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me. That's what I did as a boy of 11 and a half. I'm resting tonight not on any work of my own. I'm resting for eternity on the work of the Lamb of God. He taketh away the sin of the world. I rest for eternity upon the mighty work of Christ. If you'll do that tonight, he'll put you in his hand and he'll place you upon his shoulders and he'll never let you down till he lands you on heaven's shore. Would you trust him now? Would you trust him at this very moment? Rest upon the work of Christ. The work of Christ alone. Just come to my mind, and with this I close. Having meetings just a little while ago, a dear lady attended those meetings, and One morning, just in the kitchen, she was troubled about her soul and about her sin. She was humming the lines of that lovely hymn, that the chorus of the hymn we sing quite often. I seek no other argument. I want no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And she stopped. She said, what am I really singing? It is enough. She says, what's enough? She bowed her head and she bowed her heart in her kitchen. She says, thank God it's enough. It is enough that Jesus died and rose again for me. The work of Christ has satisfied fully the heart of God. God is satisfied. Oh, that you could rest upon that work tonight. And what will happen? You'll know something of that lasting song. A song begun in the heart that will never know an end. Oh, that heaven would rejoice tonight. Said the Savior, heaven rejoices over one sinner. One sinner. A repentant. I wonder, will you be that one sinner tonight? I trust you will. Just be that one sinner that comes in through repentance and rests upon the work of Christ. Shall we? Our Father, we bow thankfully before Thee. We bless Thee again for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the Lamb of Thine own providing. It was good of Thee to give Him. And we thank Thee for His coming here. And we thank Thee for the work that He accomplished upon the cross. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We thank Thee that He was buried and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We thank Thee for a living Christ, for one who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto Thee through Him. We pray that someone would do that tonight and rest upon the Savior and trust Him for eternity. We commit Thy word to Thee and pray Thy blessing upon it in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we'll just sing a hymn in closing. Hymn number 209. Hymn number 209. Now we do appreciate all who have come tonight. If we have said something that you do not understand, or if we can be of any help to you, my brother and myself and others will be here. We cannot save you, but if we can be of any help to you, we would be happy to do so. Hymn number 209, verse 2, says, all my iniquities on Him were laid, all my indebtedness by Him was paid. All who believe on Him, the Lord has said, have everlasting life.